the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schunt.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sausage to score! Missy X! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
He'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love the UP and my heart is hit.
Save it for Missy X. Missy X. Wrap around attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schunt Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaliva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schunt, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thanks a lot. And yes, the Joe Schunt Hour here on a Monday morning, all ready to go. Thanks for tuning in, and you have time to get your questions in for Coach Schunt. DJ at themix93.com will ask those questions for you too, Coach Schunt, a little bit later on in the show. And good morning, Coach. Congratulations on a very successful weekend down in Huntsville this past Friday and Saturday.
Good morning, Dirk. And a couple things. I want to say hello. I want to say hello to all those people down south. We had a great gathering in Huntsville with alumni and things. And it's amazing how many people listen to the show. It's just amazing. So I want to say hi to everybody I met down there. And I also want to say hi to my daughter, who I found out has a certain routine where she listens to it later in the week. So Maya,
oh, that's cool.
Hello to you too down in Charleston, South Carolina.
Well, good weekend, Coach. We for the first time this season, I think you'll agree, we put together a Friday and Saturday night series playing good hockey both nights.
Yeah, we're happy with it. The guys played well. The guys, the biggest gains we made is what we're in what we're trying to do. We're trying to develop leadership from within the group, and that's where it came from, and it's a great thing. And you see the results you get. You get a game that grows as it goes on instead of a game that, you know, that in some ways may deteriorate a little bit in performance as it goes on. You get one where there's self-accountability and leadership from within the group, where a game grows as it did Saturday night. And that's my biggest thing out of the weekend, is that our best period was our third period on Saturday, and that came from within the group. The guys that needed to step up and give us a great example did that. I thought Lucchini and Stamen were outstanding in that period. I thought that Gavin Gould and Smitty were exceptional in that third period. And that's what we needed. So you feel good coming out with that. You feel like you're heading in the right direction.
On Friday night, the guy that has stepped up his game, according to you, and I agree, Justin Misiak gets his first of the season.
To the second period. Shots are now 20-3 in favor of the Huskies. 2-on-1 for Michigan Tech. In front, Misiak scores! Misiak with great patience right on the doorstep on the backhand and fed it to the near side corner off the post, and Sinclair could not stop that one. He almost did, but it's Misiak with the goal, and the Huskies lead it 1-0, 2 minutes and 5 seconds in to the second period.
You know, we didn't get rewarded at all in that first period, Coach, after we came out and, you know, 19 shots on goal, only gave up three, and to get one early on in the second period I thought was really important.
Yeah, and look at the guys that did it. We had a great, I can't remember who made the pass to Noble, but then Noble fed Ray Bryce. Ray Bryce slipped it, made a really nice play, slipped it to Misiak, who went in all alone, and that was probably our fourth breakaway of the night. Sinclair was tremendous on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I told him that after the game. I thought he was exceptional in how he handled the puck. He was big time and did a great job and almost stole one for them on Friday night, but it was a great play. And Misiak, we talked about before the game, has been growing the last few hockey games. Ray Bryce makes the most of his opportunity when he gets in there and gives us a great play and a great effort on the game. And I thought Zach Noble was good on the weekend as well. That line gave us a good performance. So that's what you want. You want guys to go in the lineup, impact the game. Now it's tough to take them out of the lineup. You know, they're playing themselves into a role, and that's really what you want. You want guys, you want that character, that guys step in, they give you a performance, they elevate your team's performance, and now someone has to try to earn a job from them or from somebody else and makes you a better hockey club.
No doubt about it. And I believe it was Colin Swire who gave it to Noble.
I believe you're right.
And then Noble. And I love that play. You guys seem to be, I don't know how much of a design play it is, but hitting that guy in the middle, bouncing it to the outside, and then Bryce sending it back over. That was a really nice puck movement, I thought, on that play.
Yeah, it's just guys staying up with the play, and the big deal is catching the puck with your feet moving. Ray was moving up ice. His feet were north when he caught the pass, which draws coverage. He gets dangerous and critical immediately, which draws coverage. And then if players are staying up and finding the guys away from the puck are important, just as important as the guy with the puck. When you look at it, how much of a game? I mean, it's minutes total. Less than a minute total where a player has the puck in an entire game on his stick. So it's what are you doing to impact the game, the rest of the game? I was thinking that last night. I was watching the Packer and Patriots game because I love both teams. And I'm watching it. I'm thinking, you know, you look at a quarterback or you look at a punter or you look at a kicker. You look at these specialized positions in football. And they can't play the other side of it. You know what I mean? They don't even want to try to tackle somebody and things. In hockey, you have to play, in basketball as well, you have to play both sides of the game. And you can be really good at one side and not good at the other side. And in a game like football, it's so specific that gets you through. And even positionally, your lineman, your end, whatever. In hockey, you have to be able to do it all. You have to be able to play defense if you're the last guy back and you're a forward. You have to be able to rush if you're a defenseman and make a play offensively. And, you know, there's such interchanging parts. And you can be really good at one, but you really have to try to master being good at all of them. And that's really the beauty and the dynamic of hockey.
Time of that Justin Misiak goal was 2:05 in the second period. Huskies got another one, which turned out to be the game winner, as Colin Swoyer got his first career goal.
And delivered back to the point. Swoyer will not be able to hold this one in. Good back check by Gould. He'll send it over to the open defenseman. That is Ford. Ford now up for Smith across the line. Smith puts on the brakes. Holds on. Drops it there for Swoyer. He'll shoot. Scores! Swoyer with the goal for Michigan Tech. His first career goal. And the Huskies lead it 2-0 with 14:40 left in the second period.
Well, I talked to Swoyer after the game on Saturday morning about that goal and, you know, asked him how specific he was on that shot. And he knew an area where he wanted to go. But a great drop pass there by Alex Smith. Just a well-cycled play, I thought, Coach, that kind of went from the neutral zone into the offensive zone.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good line rush opportunity. Colin has started to show what he's all about. He had 5 shots on the weekend. You just mentioned on the first goal, he's the one that fed the pass up to Noble, who got to Bryce. So he's now getting involved in our offense, which is really important. Saturday night, you'll talk about it. Keegan Ford gets up in the play and gets a goal. So starting to get that productivity from our backside, who, by the way, I thought played a great weekend. We gave up a power play goal against late in the third period on Saturday. Gave up 1 5-on-5 goal on Friday. But that defensive core did a really good job on the weekend as well of developing efficiency on our puck movement, getting the puck out of our zones, making quicker reads and things like that. So as they start to mature, as they start to develop, we'll start to be a better hockey team as well.
When I talked to Colin, asked him about his game, what he thought about the first 5 games at the time, now 6 games, and he said, I feel I'm doing really well offensively. He said, I still need to get better defensively, but I'm doing okay. He said, but my offensive game, he's really happy with, and no doubt about it, he's looking good there.
Yeah, 5 shots on Friday night for him, so that's a big deal, you know, to get that out of a freshman performer. He's got the ability, he's got the skating ability. We'd still like to see him skate more out of traffic areas, you know, make plays with his feet moving, which he's starting to do better, as all our D are. You know, I thought that, you know, again, our decor I was extremely happy with on the game. We got caught, like I said, Friday on a line rush. We got caught on not a pinch at the blue line. It was kind of a tough read for Tyler Rockwell. He was at the blue line trying to hold it in. The puck was bouncing. It wasn't a turnover by Brotzman there, but they had more bodies in that area than we did. And then Grayson was on a back check type of a situation where he could have made that a 2-on-2 rush, but he went all puck and tried to get the puck, and it led to a 2-on-1 with Seamus Donahue back that they scored on the goal. But only a few mistakes on the weekend as a whole, and like we've said so many times, you can usually get by that first one. You know, okay, so we don't win that battle on the board with Brotzman. Then it goes to Tyler. Tyler tries to hold it in and gets hit, and then Grayson. So you get multiple mistakes that put the puck in your net, and sometimes the goalie bails you out, like Matty Jurcik did, and sometimes he doesn't bail you out. But all in all, you know, you want guys to make mistakes. you know, because it's going to happen, and that's where growth happens. But the repeated mistakes, you don't. And we didn't get repeated mistakes. We're starting to get more consistent performances out of our guys, which is good.
Here was that only goal by the Chargers in the third period at the 11:03 mark.
Of Teats, a couple of big hits down there. The Huskies trying to hold it in. Michigan Tech might have got away with a trip. Here's a 2-on-1 for the Chargers. A score! Top shelf, and we've got a one-goal game here with 9:57 remaining.
Salerno gets the goal. It was just a that was an NHL shot, in my opinion. I mean, he just rifled that top shelf right there.
Yeah, it was a good goal. And we again, they got numbers on us, and we were able to isolate a 1-on-1 on goal on the 2-on-1 play. They got in tight, got critical, got narrow, and made a good shot. And now it's with 10 minutes left. It's a game. But again, what happened in that is I felt pretty good about some of our D pairings. In that game, that we didn't give up a ton after that,
and we didn't score on the power play. We ended up hanging on for the win. 15-7 were the shots in the second. 7-6 their favor in the third. 40-17 after the game. We were 0-4 in the power play, but we got some really good looks. I thought 6 shots on goal overall in the power play Friday night. What'd you think?
Perimeter.
Yeah,
I thought it was perimeter, and I thought I thought we needed to be more in attack mode on both units. I thought. It looked like some guys were playing a little bit for points, and with a goaltender that was on his game, we need to take his eyes away a little bit more. So we made some adjustments on Saturday, and as you mentioned, we went 2-for-5, got some goals on Saturday's game, both on the rush, had opportunities, had 9 shots on goal on the power play on Saturday night, which was a good total, and 2 of those ended short with us getting the pucks in the net. So I thought we made some good adjustments, and the guys responded well.
Huskies get the win on Friday night, 2-1, their first WCHA game, their first WCHA win. That's a big 3 points right there. They'll go for the sweep on Saturday night. We'll have that wrap up coming up in just a moment. Back to the Joe Schottenauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We're talking about Saturday night's win over the Huntsville Chargers. Michigan Tech with a 4-1 victory, needing to put together another pretty solid night. And again, Coach, that first period, not nearly the shots. It was much more, I keep overusing this word, grinded out type of game against the Chargers, as you were, I believe, expecting going in. But nice to have Dylan Stamen back in the lineup Saturday night after he was not available on Friday night.
It was huge to have him back. Jackson was out, and but we said how excited we were to see that line play together. We made a little adjustment on that and put Luch with Dylan Stamen on the wing and Trenton Bliss on that line, who's a big, strong, skilled, power forward type player, and they were good. It was fun to watch them play. I think they like playing together, and it was great. And we get the little things out of Dylan that again, and we get huge leadership out of him. He's just a unbelievable young man, and I know the team was excited to have him back in the lineup. And he didn't get much sleep the night before traveling to the game, but it was great to have him back.
We talked to him. We asked Dylan before Saturday night's game when he came back with the team. I said, do you want to talk on the air while you were gone? And and he said, yeah. So we had him on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So I thought it was really good. For those who missed it, his best friend's father and stepmother passed away in a horrible vehicle accident, and so he obviously wanted to be there with his best friend. And I understand the father, the best friend's father, was a mentor to to him growing up too. So
yeah, and life comes first always. Life comes first, and our message on Friday was let's support him. He gave up a game in his senior year, yeah. And hockey. He's a kid that could have ended last year. He absolutely loves Michigan Tech. He loves hockey. His passion for the game has reemerged in the last couple of years. So, outstanding young man. And we got through Friday's game, and it was great to have him back. And we supported him as a group on what he needed to do. His friend needed him. He asked him to be there, and you can't say much more about that. We got through it, and then we get on and we move ahead.
So the first period, Coach, again, no scoring. Shots are much different than they were on a Friday night. We had seven. They had five on Saturday night. What was your overall thoughts on that first period, Saturday night?
What we expected. You know, we talked about it beforehand that, you know, Friday nights, we've seen that they've been skill games, and they often are skill games. Saturday nights are our will. You know, it's desire and it's will. And they, Huntsville's challenged. They were challenged with a timeout after we went up 2-0 on Friday, and they responded. And so, you know, we matched their compete level, but there was nothing pretty about the period, but there's not going to be when you're going through numbers and people are back and they're covering, both teams are covering the backside and no one was able to earn much ice in that first period. And it was just a matter of, it was a grind of who was going to flinch first. And it's the type of hockey you'd expect. And you have to be able to play those games. You have to be able to play any way a team wants to play. We've seen that. We've grown through that in the past. It's not as fun for the players. It's not as enjoyable unless you're a guy that just enjoys a really good battle, and that's what we're trying to develop is a comfortable uncomfortableness, is willing to play any way that a team wants to play, because you don't always dictate what's going to happen in a game, but you have to be able to adjust and play any way, especially on road environments. That's why I'm not against this early road deal. That's like last year we won five playoff road games and won a championship in doing it, and that's just developing character and grinding through it, and so we ground through it for two periods on Saturday night until we're able to open up it with a good third period.
Well, two players on Saturday night's second period got their first goals of the season. We start off with Keegan Ford, very similar to the Swoyer goal on Friday night.
Now we'll make a play and we'll get it up to center ice for the Huskies. Able to get it to Lucchini. Lucchini across the line. Huskies are onside. Drop pass. Here's Ford with a score! Keegan Ford drills it home. Stick side over the shoulder of goaltender Sinclair with a hard snapshot on a nice drop pass coming down inside of the zone. And a big early period goal like we saw last night in the second for Michigan Tech.
And Coach, I don't think that you can understate how important Trenton Bliss was on that play, by making that play just inside of our own blue line to get it out and make that pass.
Yeah,
over.
Again, a power forward, skill guy. That really the biggest thing that he's needs to develop is his maturity, his overall maturity, as far as approaching things in an even keel level fashion. His talent level's there. He's got pro talent for sure. And he just has to continue to work on his drive. And then it gave it to Lucchini, who made a great play. You have to respect Lucci. He had a lot of shots, I think seven on Friday night. Again, more, probably five or so on Saturday, five, six maybe on Saturday night. But you have to respect his shooting capabilities all the time. And so he drew some coverage and fed it to the open man. And again, a defenseman joining the rush, making a nice play for us. So big goal to get off and get on the board, or you know, get on the board first in the game. It came from a good player who plays the game the right way.
Keegan Ford gets his first of the season. That was at the 47 mark. Again, Lucchini and Bliss getting the assist. Huskies weren't done yet in that period, obviously, as they scored at the 7:27 mark. This on the power play. Jake Lucchini, his first of the season.
1-0 Michigan Tech on a power play right now, brought to you by Edward Jones Financial Advisor Brent Peterson. Right up the ice now, across the Michigan Tech, or across the line. Here comes Lucchini with a shot. Scores! Lucchini is first of the season, and that'll feel good for Jake. Stick right over the shoulder of Sinclair. Nothing the netminder could do on that. And the Huskies get a power play goal and lead it 2-0.
Alex Smith and Keegan Ford get the assist. Big goal right there on the power play.
Yeah, on the rush. They took it on the rush. You can't, you know, you have to take what's given to you on the power play and generate attempts at the net. And again, it was driving into good ice and not trying to force a play that's not there and just saying, I'll take the shot. And that one went in for us. And I believe Luch now has 6 points in six games. I think he's up to that. And so we're getting a pretty good performance out of him. And he's jumping up into the scoring, I believe.
Yeah, he had 3 points in this game. Looking really good. So we're up 2-0. Shots in the second period, very even, 9-8. We go to the third period. A huge power play goal. Grayson Reitmeier able to redirect.
In preparation on that one was Sinclair. He was totally squared up on that one. No chance for Hallinan. Back up top again. Here's a shot through traffic and a score! In front of the goal! It is Grayson Jackson Whitmire with the redirect off of the shot from Donahue, and the Huskies get their biggest lead of the weekend and their second power play goal of the night, 3-0.
I love replays, Coach, because you can see little things that you didn't see the first time, and that little bit of, hey, I'm open in front, you can see Whitmire, little stick up, looking at Donahue. Donahue saw him and sent the puck there.
Yeah, that was a good adjustment. We went to a 2D look on that power play for the first time on the weekend, and we're looking for that isolation, and we were able to get it. A great play again from Sheamus. D were trying to figure out really how to get that thing into the position they wanted to get it into, and then they got it where they wanted to. Sheamus got the puck through and a great deflection in front, and that was going up three. With that early goal in the third, changed the whole complexion. That started, like, you could see the confidence on the bench. It wasn't a one goal game anymore. It was a two goal game anymore, like it was the night before. It was a three goal game, and that started, I thought, a really good third period for us. I thought Huntsville competed well. I thought we competed well. We did a lot of little things, well in the third period that you need to do, especially on the road to win a hockey game. They were giving us everything they could, and our guys, I thought, did a great job of countering it. We had some great shifts in the offensive zone, extended shifts with line changes. That it was just a really good third period. It was great to come out of a weekend with growth. You feel you're coming out with growth instead of going backwards. You're moving ahead. And again, I have a lot of respect for the play of Alex Smith in that third period, of Gavin Gould in that third period. Our big message to our team was on the weekend was leadership. Again, it was from coming from within. We have guys that have won three championships. We have seniors that have brought a McNaughton Cup 3 years ago here, and back-to-back league championships. Those guys are leading our team. Now, we talked last week, and people are talking to me, boy, your freshmen are really leading your team. No, they're not. Our freshmen were leading us in points, but our leadership of our team is the guys that have been through the grind and the leadership. Those are the guys that you're challenging and letting them know, hey, fellas, this is your team. This is last year, Brent Baltus's team, Mark Ock's team. This is your team, fellas. You guys are the guys that are going to control the flow. The young guys are watching you. They're putting points up right now in a lot of ways because that first game against Duluth, Gavin and Luch and those guys played incredible. They probably had 7-8 scoring chances. They're getting matched. A lot of the production, the lack of production that they might have been having was because they're seeing the best of what the opposition has in defensive pairings and forward matches. We only played two games at home. Our games have been on the road, so it's an easy match for the opposition. I like the way they stuck to a game format and did the little things the right way so the young guys can watch that and learn from that and get better from that, which they did, because we've been having... We weren't getting that on Saturday nights for the most part, and it was great to see the guys come together with that effort, that grind game, and take over a grind effort in the third period and turn that into a nice win.
They did get the one goal, Coach, and it was on the power play.
Holding the call against Bliss, Gorowski down low, in front of score!
Well, Dunn took the shot from the side, and I'm not sure, did that go off of Cooper Watson skating in?
I would think that they probably changed that. I looked to us on the replay that the pass went through to the back door. It might have gone off of, I didn't ask Cooper.
Okay.
Would I do? I'd feel better if it did, just to be honest with you. We've been focusing hard on our penalty kill. We shot a goose egg on the weekend up until that last power play for Huntsville. We were more aggressive on the kill. Guys did a good job of taking accountability. We blocked a lot of shots. We had 13 blocks, I believe, each night. They're leading the NCAA in block shots as a team. We surpassed them. We had 13 blocks, I believe, to their 9 or something like that on Saturday night. So the little things that you need to do to be effective, the little things that we've been addressing and focusing on, we did. We wanted to get that goose egg. That was a pride thing to get that, but they were able to get a puck in. So if it went in on a deflection in front, those things are going to happen when you're playing the game the way we're playing it. If they fed it to a, if they got through to the back door guy that was open, that's not what we want to see. And then, you know, there's some accountability that has to be put in place on that.
So that made it a 3-1 game with about 5 minutes left to go, just under six actually left to go in the third period. And the Huskies were able to put it away real late in the game as Jake Lucchini got an empty net, his second goal of the game.
Looking in front, we'll send it back down low. Here's a pass to the high slot for poked away by Lucchini. Lucchini bringing it up. He's on a breakaway. Extra attacker. He'll come in. He'll shoot and he'll score. Jake Lucchini with the empty net goal. We'll put this one away with 12 seconds left to go in the third. And that will do it. The Huskies will seal the deal here in Huntsville and get their first sweep of the season. And we'll go 2-0 in the WCHA.
Jake Lucchini had a great weekend overall.
He did. How about that crowd? You know, I'm listening to these goals. The only thing different in that is that when they score, there's a horn. When we score, you can hear the crowd. Again, a great following for the guys. Jake, we had a lot of guys that played extremely well on the weekend. I thought we got a great weekend out of Jerusik in goal. Again, he played well. I think our goaltending is a strength. All three of our guys are capable of putting in that type of performance. So I'm happy with the way that position has evolved. Our defensemen showed great growth, I think, on the weekend. They're continuing to show growth and gain confidence as a young defensive core. Rockwell stepped in, did a great job. Todd Killinan stepped in, did a great job, competed hard for us, as he always does. Logged some good ice time, some good minutes. I thought they did a good job. I thought we were aggressive and closed a lot better, held lines better, forced better on the penalty kill. So I think we did a lot of things well in the growth. And then I think we got up front, we got some great leadership from our veteran players up front. And again, we got a tremendous performance Friday night out of Hallinan and Reitmeier and Broetzman. They led us in chances on Friday. But on Saturday, it was more the upperclassmen that led us, and again, that was a nice win. So happy with the growth, happy with the even without the outcome, I'm happy with the performance, especially the way we ended on Saturday night.
Well, with 2 for 5 on the power play, coach, after not getting anything on Friday night, and with all those power play goals at Wisconsin, we're 7th in the nation right now with our power play standing at about 28% right now. So it was nice to get a couple of power play goals, 9 power play shots on net. As you said, Jerusik was very good all weekend long, had 22 saves in that Saturday night. St. Clair was outstanding in net, not as much on Saturday night. Certainly on Friday night was a beast in the goal, and we were fortunate to get 2 by him. But the Huskies get the sweep, 4-1 the final, 29-23 were the final shots in favor of Michigan Tech in that Saturday night game. We've got a lot more to talk about, some injuries to talk about, of course, looking back at some other WCHA action over the weekend, some big games that were played. It's all part of the Joe Schon Hour right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases, games are won, and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Questions about your retirement deserve more than just a call center. Hi, I'm John Nelson, your Houghton Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Let me show you the difference personal attention can make when it comes to your goals. Contact me today, 906-482-8680. That's 482-8680. Personal attention, that's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see 2 stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
It's almost Bush O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day,
Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Whoosh. Crisp, cold, Busch. Enjoy responsibly. Busch Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your one-stop shops for all things authentically Michigan Tech. Our stores offer fresh and sporty Michigan Tech apparel, souvenirs, and unique gift options. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Email campusstore@mtu.edu to join Husky Deals and be the first to know about our sales, promotions, and new offerings. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. Warning, shopping the University Images in the Campus Store may cause smiles, happiness, elation, customer satisfaction, and or accolades from friends and family.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour. And get your questions in. DJ@themix93.com. We'll ask those questions coming up in just a little bit. Coach, some very big games over the weekend as far as the WCHA playing Big Ten teams. And WCHA did pretty good starting on Friday night. Lake Superior, Damon Witten at Taffy Able Arena in the Sioux, able to beat Mel Pearson and Michigan by a score of 5-2. A couple of power play goals for the Lakers, and shots were even up 30 apiece in that game. That's a big win.
Yeah, they have a nice team. They have a nice team. They've done a good job there. They're senior laden or upper class laden now, and they have some good depth up front, and their defense is now veteran type defense, and their goaltending is exceptional. I think Mittens is as good as they come in our league, and they have two goaltenders that have a lot of experience. So they're a good hockey team. They're undefeated after that game, still undefeated on the year after beating Michigan in that game. Big win for our league against a good Michigan hockey team. It's a big deal now. And a thing to keep in perspective when you're looking at the depth of our league, they went in there and won 2-1 goal games at Huntsville a week ago. Right. Lake State did, in one of those games getting outshot in the game. So, Lake State's a good team. They're gonna battle for home ice this year for sure. They have they have a lot of experience. A lot of guys have played a lot of games. But they have any team in our league can win on any given night.
Saturday night, the Michigan Wolverines did beat Lake Superior and handed the Lakers their first loss. 5-3 was the final there, so they moved to 3-3. Michigan does, I think, 3-3. Maybe I have that wrong. The other games would have been Minnesota State in a home-and-home against the Golden Gophers at Mariucci the first night, back at the Verizon the second night, and Minnesota State looked really good Friday night, 5-1, and they were able to get that win on Saturday night, too,
yep,
after trailing.
Up to number two in the country.
Yeah.
They're up to number two. That's a legit hockey team, as they always are. They get, they're competing well in recruiting in the state of Minnesota and in balancing that out in other areas, but they're getting some extremely good players in there from a lot of areas, and they're doing a great job. And one loss on the year for them, number two in the country, a highly competitive team, a tremendously well coached team. Those are big wins for our league as well. That sweep, the Lake Superior win, our win against Wisconsin, Bowling Green, having a big win against Ohio State a week ago, those are all tremendous wins for our league.
And another big win, even though Ferris State lost on Friday night against Michigan State, they come back on Saturday night and got the win by a score of 4-1.
Yeah, and I think Michigan State is 4-1 or 5-1 on the year, so another Big Ten win for our league. So, we're showing we're competing. Those are big deals for us.
Another team that's going to be competing for home ice, Bemidji State, with the sweep at Anchorage over the weekend up at Sullivan Arena. They went 2-0 on Friday night and 3-1 on Saturday night. And Bemidji State, one of those teams you know can beat any team in the nation. They just one of those teams.
Well coached. Tom Ceratori does an excellent job there. Driscoll's was, I believe, the top goaltender in USHL last year. An exceptional goaltender. He played for Omaha. They'll always compete. They'll always be well coached. They seldom beat themselves. They're always good on the penalty kill. So they'll be right there as well.
So another team, we were talking about Bowling Green State and just how well they are doing. They win over Northern Michigan Friday night, 3-1. Northern gets a huge win for their program, I thought, Saturday night, to come back and get a shutout 2-0.
Yeah, outshot 35-15, I believe, in the game. Again, their goaltending, Ate Tolvanen, returning goalie of the year in our league, is he's a tremendous talent, and it's a big win for Northern. They're going to battle right up there, at when all's said and done. They have scoring, they have defense, they have goaltending, so they're going to be right there as the season wears on.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with some of your questions, and Coach. I know some of the questions are talking about injuries, so we'll wait and talk about the injuries when we get to the questions. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
Got the fender bender blues. People stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new. It's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Best pizza? New York style.
No. Nah. Deep dish.
No way. A white pie and wash it down with a Coke.
No. Nah. Neapolitan.
Detroit style.
No question.
Unbelievable. I didn't even know they made pizza.
It's gotta be chewy.
No. Extra crispy.
With extra red sauce.
No. Gluten-free.
I love cheese pizza.
And a Coke.
Pineapple.
Who puts a pineapple on their pizza?
It's called Hawaiian.
No. Fresh mozzarella.
I want cheese on the pizza and in the crust.
Fork and knife. All day.
Come on.
You'll get folded.
Pizza? It goes best with a Coke.
Has to be Coke.
My pizza goes with a Coke.
You got that right.
I like my pizza with a Coke.
An ice cold Coke.
Pizza and a Coke. Come on.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
It's rainy fish tacos from out of the sky. Joey's Tacos, no need to ask why. Put them in your mouth and close your eyes. It's rainy fish tacos, Joey's Fish Tacos, Joey's Fish Tacos, rainy fish tacos, out of fish tacos.
Get your fish taco for $2.99 at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
Rainy fish tacos, it's rainy fish tacos at Joey's.
Hey, it's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. Thanks for your questions. And if you have one you still want to get in here, we still have some time here. Let's get to questions. Here's the first one, Coach. I noticed last year that the team seemed to play well on Friday, or the first game of the GLI in the Las Vegas tournament. The team seemed to have trouble playing in the second game until later in the season. This year, with the exception of this past weekend in Alabama, the team has had a similar start. Play well Friday against Minnesota Duluth, not so well on Saturday. Play extremely well on Friday against Wisconsin, not so well on Saturday. Have you noticed this and have you addressed it? Well, we've actually talked quite a bit about it, but I guess your thoughts on that, Coach?
Yeah, it's either coaching or it's personnel. It's one of the two. You guys can leave it up to yourself and figure it out and make your own assertions. But, they're different games Friday and Saturday, and that's what we talk about all the time. Friday is a more skill-oriented game. Saturday is usually a grind. Somebody's won, somebody's lost. That's where kind of the men come out to play on Saturday nights. And I think our season turned around a year ago. I've said it many times when we showed up on a Saturday night at Bowling Green after losing, I believe, four straight times to them prior to that, including the championship game of the GLI, where they just absolutely broke our will. And that Saturday night in Bowling Green, after that game, we came out of it a different hockey team, and that's what we've addressed this year. It's just Saturday nights are not pretty hockey games often. They're just they're a grind. They're, again, the men come out to play, and you have to show up to play in those games, and that's where you really need to stick to your structure to create that synergy on the ice. So it's either coaching where we're not. you know, able to get them to do it, or it's the personnel that it within the DNA of our of this basically the same group of guys isn't always willing to go there, and the quicker we can, in my opinion, the quicker we can get comfortable in those uncomfortable situations, the better off we'll be as a team and as a program, and we'll have growth. And you know, you're looking for the point where that leadership comes from within. We talk about that, and where the upperclassmen are looking at younger guys saying, hey, fellas, this is how it's done here. We do it this way, and they're sending these same messages that we're talking about. Because if it has to come from within the coaches all the time, and the coaches are completely getting on them, you risk it going the other way. And we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. It's important to me to have the leadership come from within the team, and for our voice as coaches to become less within the dynamic, and for the leadership to become more. And I give a ton of credit. We talked about this on Saturday, but I give a ton of credit to our athletic director, Suzanne Sandergret, because they've instilled a leadership structure within the athletic department this year that I think has been phenomenal, where each team has a core group of leadership personnel that are going to these meetings, these deals, and learning how to handle tough situations with coaches, learning how to handle tough situations with other athletes, learning how to handle make yourself accountable so that you can hold others accountable. Dealing with all these leadership dynamics, and it's just an absolutely phenomenal endeavor, because that filters down through the whole athletic program. And you look at, like, you look at some of the things you're getting. You get great, you know, football's done a good job. They battled right through a lot of injuries and things. You get, you know, the women's basketball team the other day, you know, beat a Division I opponent in an exhibition game. Sam did a great job with that group, and her players are doing a great job. You know, you got the same thing with the men's basketball team. You know, they're battling through some things that they and working through it, but it'll carry them through. You look at the volleyball team. You know, you look at the growth of all these programs, and I think a lot of it comes to the culture within the athletic department. And whatever happens to Joe Sean, win or lose, fired, not fired, whatever happens to Joe Sean, he's going to be proud of the athletic department at Michigan Tech, because it's done the right way here. The students come first, and the coaches, they're exceptional coaches that realize that the coaches are all humble, and they all realize it's the players that win. The players don't need coaches. Like we say it often, even don't give them skates, throw a puck out someplace or a ball out someplace and some sticks, they'll figure out how to play a game and keep score and compete. We just have to kind of emulate and guide the momentum of the group.
Coach, really quick, can you enlighten us why there is that tendency of Saturday night games being so different than Friday night games, where the skill is, much of the skill is often taken out of? I asked Ray Bryce about it before Saturday night's game. I said, why is that? And he thought, well, you know, you expend a lot of energy on Friday night, and so it's a different type of game. That might be part of it. Is that the biggest reason, or what is the biggest reason, do you think?
Well, I think it's mentality. Yeah. I think it's approach and mentality. If it's conditioning, we have to address that. We talk about it all the time. Are we conditioned? Like, do we have to do more in the conditioning aspect of it, where we don't have the energy to play the game a certain way on Saturday night? So we have to make sure that we're focusing on that. I think Tyler does a great job with that. I think we have a new training staff that has to continually help us monitor that. Brian Brewster did a great job of monitoring that. He was experienced at it. He studied it. So those things come into play. But we had a great period on the third period on Saturday. So and if you don't come out, you know, on against Duluth and against Wisconsin, we had awful periods on Saturday night in the first period, which set the tempo for the hockey game. In a lot of ways, you know, we went down big against Wisconsin, came back and got late goals. Duluth, we got late goals to make a game that really wasn't a 5-2 game, in my opinion, a 5-2 game. Like, I thought they outplayed us much worse than that. So you address conditioning, you make sure that that's factored. And then it comes down to preparation. We're prepared on Friday after a week of drilling and drilling and drilling. But what we see in a lot of ways is guys get away from their game. Guys start, as it goes on even Friday night, they start morphing and evolving into a more individualized game, which takes you farther and farther away from the ultimate goal. And in tough times, you have to pull more together. When you're in battle, you know, you can't have guys going rogue on you. You know, you're going to, you know, you have to, Navy SEALs training, things like that, you have to get more in tune to your training, more in tune. And if there's an issue with that, that's the message we have to the team all the time. If there's something you don't believe in, if there's something you think we have to do in more, we have plenty of mechanisms plus an open-door policy to bring that to our attention so that we can discuss it and correct it. We're open to changing all the time. So, you know, I think it's the culture within the makeup of the group, and I think that's what we, this is what I believe, and that's what we have to as coaches, make sure we're doing a good job. And a lot of people don't like it, I'm sure. We're too hard on the guys, you know. You hear all sides of it. You hear, you know, and again, this is from talking to people, and listening to comments, you know, like guys don't feel uncomfortable when they're a mistake takes them out of the lineup. That's athletics. You know what I mean? That's athletics. That's the hardening and the toughening of not making those mistakes to take you out of the lineup. What it says to me is, it's if that's coming from our players, they want entitlement. They want to say, hey, I don't want, you know, why make this so hard on me? But that's athletics. You know what I mean? You perform or you don't perform. And the guys that go in there, Ray Bryce goes in there and he performs. He holds himself too accountable. We talked about that a week ago. I said, Ray's tying himself in knots because he wants so hard to do well that it affects his performance. I'm sure he's like that in everything he does in life. You know, he wants so well that he's so driven to succeed. Whether or not it's coaches putting pressure on him or not putting pressure, not enough, too much, whatever. I know the comment we're making to Ray all the time is, Ray, relax. Just open your mind and relax. You know, stay focused, stay aware of all of your surroundings. Don't get so channeled that you're going to run in, you know, you're going to try to run through that wall all the time to break it down. Sometimes, you know, see the ladder on the right side of that wall that you can climb over. You know, it doesn't have to be always forceful. It can be, you know, it can be intelligent aggressiveness. And that's why we try to get the guys to have, to have a good, you know, to be uncomfortable, to be comfortable in an uncomfortable environment. Saturday's games are uncomfortable, and they're hard. They're a different game. Friday's games are often a more skilled, a softer game.
I probably should have given you this early, Coach, so you had a chance to think about it. But the next question is, Coach, whether playing or coaching, for or against, who are some of the best college hockey players you have ever seen?
Well, Tanner Carroll, obviously, locally comes to mind. Shane Hanna locally comes. I mean, that first year we never had a bad practice, not a single bad practice. So, I mean, not a bad practice. If you came out a little sluggish or things, they got it going during the practice, and that's why we entered the national tournament. I believe number 5 should have been probably better, but entered at number 5 as the number 2 seed in our region and had a great game against St. Cloud, dominated them in the game, just didn't come out on top. Had some miscues late in the game, some circumstances that kept us from winning that. They were great. At Lake State, there were many, many players that were there. Jim Dowd was a tremendously gifted mental player. I mean, those guys were mentally tough and could get it going. There were so many in that environment at Lake State, or I mean at Northern. Some of the players, Eric Gustafson, who played in the National Hockey League, stood out to me as being a player that always showed up and really controlled the group of the, you know, the mentality of the group. He was a 2-time All-American, just a tremendous player. Matty Roy, Shane Hanna comes to mind. You know, in character, Reed Sturrows could have played on any team ever that I've ever been associated with because of his demeanor, his quietness, his competitive level, you know, just what he brought in. He was a leader in usually a non-leadership role on the team, but he was a guy that turned everybody and could settle down crazy chaos. You know, he could just turn and look at a guy and say, settle down. You know what I mean? Like, Reed Sturrows was a great leader. So I've been around Bruce Hofford as a goaltender, was as good as any as far as leading a team. Like, he hated to get scored on in practice, hated it, loved to practice, hated it, signed a big $2.5 million contract with Philadelphia. But, I mean, you scored on him in practice, he's the type of guy that would, you know, like the old Dominic Hasek story, okay, Let's do that again. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again. We're playing again. Like, we're doing that again. You're not coming out on top. So those are it's always the competitive guys that stick out with you, the guys that competitive greatness, that were at their best when their best was needed. We're at their best when their best was needed. Those are the guys that stand out in your mind always.
Next question for Coach. Young Sophia Freeman is a huge Jake Jackson fan, and she is wondering if Jake is going to be all right.
Jake will be all right in time. It's going to take him a little bit of time to get back to being able to play. But he's going to be fine. It's a long way from his heart, so he'll be good. Stop by sometime. I'm sure Jake would love to meet you.
All right, we'll have more questions coming up in just a moment. Quick timeout, and we'll also take a look at the big series against Ferris State coming up this Friday and Saturday night, which you'll be able to hear right here on Mix 93.
Two things go hand in hand in the Copper Country in November. That's the hunting season and Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. All 7-Up 20-ounce products are only 99 cents. Stay hydrated at the camp with Powerade and Gatorade deals. Bucko's has hunting licenses, bait deals, and Keweenaw alpaca gear. Football Sundays, deer season, Thanksgiving, many reasons to get your party started at Bucko's in Calumet. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy, knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawns today or call us at 906-524-6330.
When you need to find a car at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Purchase one 12-ounce can of WD-40 with Smart Straw and buy your second can for 50% off at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet through November 28th.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
The Kaleva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaleva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Well, welcome back here on the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93. We don't have a lot of time. We have one more question, Coach, and it's about the area of the rink down at Ferris, claimed to be 85 by 200 NHL regulation rink, and you've said that
not a chance.
That you feel it's smaller.
Not a chance, and it's conducive to their game. You know, I've said this often, Ferris State is as good a coach team as you'll ever see. Bob Daniels, Mark Kaufman, Drew Famulak, their staff does an incredible job. They've taken that team to the championship game of the national tournament. They're creative. They're focused. They put a team together in cycles, I believe, so that they're going to have in their opinion, a down year. It sure seems that way every once in a while. It depends on how well their guys adapt, of how down that year is. A down year might be fifth place for them, but they're always, you know, on any given year, they're winning the championship of the league. And right now they're cycling up. They went through their adjustment last year. They're restocking last year. Now they're on their way back up. Their rink is small. They take chances in their rink offensively and back pressure tremendously hard, knowing that they can get back because it is small. I don't care what it's listed at. It's a small rink. They throw everything to the net offensively. On the defensive side of it, they chase you down hard. They gave us fits there last year, demoralized us, beat us twice. in the rink last year. You can't take a second off a shift in that building. They have a great fan base that they've built there. They fill it. They could add on there and draw the people in. They've got good energy within their program. Bob's been through some things the last couple of years. I think he's totally energized and focused on hockey right now and enjoying being at the rink with his team, and I think it shows in the way that they're playing. And again, that staff is a great staff. Mark Kaufman is coaching the National Hockey League. Drew Famulak does an incredible job. Been with championship teams. I played with him at Lake State. He won a championship. He transferred to Stevens Point, won a championship there. He then went to Miami, I believe, as a grad assistant. He's with great programs. So that staff is a great staff that I think if you took that staff and put them at a power school, that every year they'd be in the top 10, and every year they'd be in the national tournament and making Final Four appearances consistently. It's a great staff. And so it's going to be a fun weekend. I enjoy playing against them.
I know you've already watched some of the film, and we've got a scouting report, too, from a Huskies fan out there. Four of their seven goals over the weekend, crashing the net, getting rebounds.
Yeah, that's the way they play. They get back. They're good on face-offs. They're good on execution. So it's a lot of fun. They make you better when you play them, and that's important.
And if we remember, fans, last year at Big Rapids was a tough, tough weekend for Michigan Tech. Lost both games, lost a lot of players, didn't have enough forwards or defensemen on Saturday night to put in a full roster. And it just was the start of it was right in the middle of a real tough time for Michigan Tech hockey. We got out of that, though.
Yeah, they do a great job. They do. They're fun to play against. They make you better. They have a good athletic program, too. You know, they're battling. Their volleyball team's tremendous. Their basketball teams are tremendous. Football team is exceptional. So they're much like us. I think it's probably our two programs in the GLIAC that have the most similarities, and it's great competition.
All right, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Game time 7:07, both Friday and Saturday night. We'll have Michigan Tech women's basketball also down there, just across the hallway.
And potentially volleyball.
If
volleyball wins their region, their first
quarterfinal,
yeah. Yeah, here, then they'll be at Ferris this weekend.
Absolutely. So lots going on down there. We'll be covering most of it here on Mix 93 WKMJ. 7:07, drop of the puck, both Friday and Saturday night. Can be heard here on Mix 93. Coach, thanks for your time. Four more games on the road before we come back home. So
yeah, and we're enjoying it. And again, I want to congratulate Sam with the women's basketball team, and Matt with the volleyball team. Great comeback, gutsy comeback after a letdown game Thursday, I believe it was, against Ferris. You know, that was all on the line. Going down two sets their next match, and then coming back and winning three straight. Just great effort by them.
That's the Joe Schottauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ.